I'm Kate Daniels. A most wonderful way to celebrate Earth Day, beyond our daily care of the planet, is to learn about a business revolution that has been taking place, how it's really making a fundamental difference to our very life, providing for cleaner air and water, providing for good jobs, for building a strong economy. Bob Keefe is the executive director of the national nonpartisan group E2, Environmental Entrepreneurs, and the author of this new book, Clean Economy Now, Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. Bob Keefe, good morning. Thank you so greatly for being with us today.
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Oh my goodness, that's such a compliment because, you know, really to turn it around, I am just so in awe, so impressed, so grateful, bottom line, for the work that you're doing and for your newest book, which we will certainly be conversing about this morning, Clean Economy Now, Stories from the Front Lines of an American Business Revolution. And it is just packed with so much critical information that touches each and every one of us. And also, this is so key, it's written in such a way that is so engaging and, may I say, easy to read.
Oh, you're kind to say so. Thank you so much.
But it is important when something is this critical that it be available, readable to, you know, the broad population. And I think that's what you've done, because here when we're talking about Clean Economy Now, this touches every single one of us, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, Kate, I think you know this. I spent most of my life as a journalist covering everything from the rise of Amazon and other companies in Seattle and elsewhere to covering Washington and the White House for a while, and also environmental news all around the globe. And, you know, look, I really believe that we have a fantastic story right now around our economy and around our environment. I truly believe that we're at the advent of the biggest economic revolution we've seen in generations. And I think it's because America has finally gotten serious about doing something about climate change, with federal policies that were passed 20 months ago and with other policies that passed in Washington state.
And that is certainly exciting. And I must say that I just don't think we get enough news coverage, enough stories, enough discussion about this, because we seem to focus more on the doom and the gloom and seeing all the disasters around us and what it's costing us, that we're forgetting that there is this, I'm going to call it, the solution is right here happening, but we're not focusing enough on it.
That's exactly right. And Kate, you know, look, we're coming up on Earth Day, which for the past 54 years or so, we've taken a little bit of time out of our busy lives to actually think about the planet and our environment that we all depend on. But I really think that this Earth Day is different. And it's different because America has rediscovered that we can do big things that benefit our environment and benefit our economy at the same time. And like I say, I think I consider it a revolution akin to the Industrial Revolution, akin to the Internet Revolution. Why do I say that? You know, my organization, E2, has been tracking clean energy jobs and clean energy projects around the country for years now. And what we know is just in the past 20 months, Kate, just since the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act in Washington, D.C., we've seen 300 major clean energy projects and factories coming out of the ground all across America, solar panel factories in places like Georgia, battery factories in places like North Carolina and Tennessee, electric vehicle factories popping up all over the place. $120 billion worth of private sector investments are flowing into these projects from companies all around the world. These aren't government handouts. They're not grants. They're private investment by companies who actually believe that America is on the right track now when it comes to moving to a clean economy. There's been more than 100,000 jobs announced at these projects. That's almost as many people, I believe, as live in a place like Renton or Everett or Bellingham.
Right.
But the fact is, when have we ever seen 300 factories and other major projects coming out of the ground in America? It's amazing to watch, and it's happening everywhere, including in Washington State and including in Seattle.
And, well, let's take this time then to talk about how we have that happening right here. And because until you've written this book, I must say I'm not even aware of it. Or it just happens and we're just rather, I don't know, it just feels so benign. So let's discuss that.
Well, that's the thing. Again, I think it's an economic revolution like we've never seen. The problem is, Kate, not enough people realize that. Not enough people see it. And unfortunately, because of that, a lot of these policies that are driving this economic renaissance in America are at risk. But you only have to look around, even in Seattle. Just last week, there was a company called First Mode that announced it's opening a factory in Seattle to essentially retrofit big, gigantic polluting trucks that are used in industries like rail yards and mines and other heavy industry. They're converting these tremendously large trucks into hybrid electric, hydrogen-fueled vehicles. They're going to do about 150 of these vehicles every single year, they say, which is the pollution of equivalent of taking about 90,000 cars off the road each year. That's revolutionary. Look at what Boeing is doing, and look at what some of the airlines are doing in Seattle and out at Moses Lake and elsewhere. A Dutch company called Sky NRG last year announced an $800 million sustainable aviation plant that'll create about 600 jobs while it's being built, about 100 jobs after that. That's to supply planes that are built by Boeing, right? A few months ago, another company called, it's called 12, announced another sustainable fuels plant that basically takes carbon dioxide, the stuff that's causing climate change, and essentially has figured out a way to turn it into jet fuel, something that's called industrial photosynthesis. In the book, I mentioned some of the clean aviation work going on at Moses Lake, where companies have now flown planes that run on batteries, that can run on hydrogen. You know, you're not going to fly around the world on this, but it'll take you from Seattle to Los Angeles, which when you think about the amount of pollution and carbon dioxide that we're burning up with jet fuel every single day, that's going to make a dent. And all of this, again, is good for our economy, but it's also good for our environment. It's finally cleaning up and addressing climate change in a way that we've never done before.
And this is beyond exciting, and we should be singing it from the rooftops, if you will. And yet again, we're just not, I think, giving it the kind of coverage, the kind of respect and excitement that we ought to be.
Right, right. And, we're kind of used to the gloom and doom about climate and climate change, and we certainly have felt the impacts of that in places like Washington, where we have these unprecedented heat waves, where we have wildfires, where we have flooding at scales we've never seen before. But really, I think this is a good news story, Kate. I'm optimistic because of what's happening around the country now with clean energy, with clean transportation. It's going to make a big difference if, and I do say if, we don't go backwards. You know, these policies, including the Inflation Reduction Act, are because people don't know enough about them. We have lawmakers trying to roll them back already in Congress. We've had 30 attempts to stop or roll back or reduce the Inflation Reduction Act, oftentimes by lawmakers who are seeing the benefits of these jobs, of seeing this clean energy in their own backyards. The uncertainty around the November election is casting a huge pall over all of this progress. And what we need to do, I believe, is as individuals, as people, is to make sure our lawmakers know that we want to keep this progress moving forward. We want to move toward a cleaner economy, and we want to do it now.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to be highlighting this and to making people aware. And so let's mention your book, because as I mentioned at the outside, so readable, is going to give us all the information, the stories we need to discuss this in an intelligent way, share it with others, and be convincing where that needs to happen. So we are talking then about your new book, which is Clean Economy Now. It's just recently out and available at all of our favorite book sources, correct?
That's right. That's right. And you can find out more at cleaneconomy.com.
Right. And we can.
I'm sorry, cleaneconomynow.com. I got that wrong, Kate.
The entire title of the book is what it is.
That's right.
Okay. And you also have a website with your environmental entrepreneurs, which I think is also another avenue for us to gain a lot of information. And besides the information, is to really have so much more optimism about the future.
That's right. And Kate, yeah, my organization, E2, has been around for almost 25 years now, and we're a national organization of more than 10,000 business leaders from just about every sector of the economy and just about every state in the country who realize we can have both a good economy and a good environment with the right market signals, with the right policies from government. We have a fantastic chapter in the Pacific Northwest that's based in Seattle, actually, that includes everybody from folks who work in the food industry to investors in clean energy to others who are just doing really great work at kind of the intersection of economy and environment.
And that certainly is something that many areas, and certainly here, in the Puget Sound area, the economy is a big point of discussion and all of that. So here to know that this is going on and to really get behind what's working is what we need to do to see the future that we want for our kids.
That's exactly right. And look, this isn't just about new factories coming out of the ground. It's not just about addressing climate change in a meaningful way for the first time, which are obviously tremendously important. But this is really making America more competitive in the world. It's helping our national security by shifting to cleaner energy and a cleaner economy. And it's helping us in so many other ways in this country. And let me give you some examples. You know, today, as we continue to shift toward electric vehicles, continue to shift toward solar and battery storage for energy, those are industries that are dominated by China and other Asian countries. You know, China now produces nearly 90% of batteries that we use. It produces about 90% of solar panels that we use. China is now the biggest maker of electric vehicles in the world. Look, these are things that America invented. We invented solar panels in this country. We invented the technology behind lithium-ion batteries. We invented modern-day wind turbines and figured out how to mass-produce vehicles. But globally, we're not even in the competition right now, Kate. We don't produce any of this stuff in this country at scale. But because of these policies, the Inflation Reduction Act and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and some of the policies that have been passed in Washington State, today we have nearly 70 battery factories coming out of the ground all across America. We have nearly as many solar panel factories coming out of the ground. I was just recently in Georgia, for instance, where one of the biggest solar panel factories in the Western Hemisphere is being built in the little town of Dalton, Georgia. Now, if you go to Dalton, it for years was the carpet capital of the world and still produces a lot of carpet. If you go there and talk to anybody, it's like they worked at the carpet mill, or their mom worked at the carpet mill, and their dad and their grandma worked at the carpet mill. Well, now we have a company from Korea, Qcells, is building three major factories in that area that are going to create thousands of jobs for local folks. These are opportunities that wouldn't exist. These are new paths to good careers that wouldn't be possible in places like that, and places like that all over the country.
And that just really creates so much excitement, so much enthusiasm, because where people thought, oh, you know, what happens to my life? My carpet job is gone.
That's right.
But here, with retraining, you're in a new industry and one that is so vital to our future, and also an that there's a whole education aspect that comes into play, teaching our kids these particular skills for their future as well.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, look at places like coal communities. I was recently a couple weeks ago, I was in Pennsylvania, where one of the biggest coal fields, the strip mines that have been essentially abandoned and cleaned out over the years, is now becoming the biggest solar field in the state of Pennsylvania. They're hiring hundreds of construction workers to put solar panels out in what used to be a coal mine and essentially a useless piece of land, unfortunately, because it's been stripped of all of its coal and it's just a scar on the planet, is now going to be the biggest solar producer in the state. Look at a place like West Virginia. West Virginia, of course, is known as a coal state, and its workers help power our economy for so many years. But coal's going away. But in a little town called Weirton, West Virginia, and I mentioned this in the book, Kate, a little town called Weirton, West Virginia, a company is building a battery manufacturing plant that's going to hire hundreds of workers and invest billions of dollars into the local economy. These are opportunities that are being created in places that were wondering about their future. And it's allowing kids to stay home and live in the communities where they were raised instead of having to travel someplace and get a job away from their families. And it's changing, really, the structure of America. This is what a clean economy revolution looks like.
And it's so beautiful to see that we have an economy that's growing. It's a clean economy, and therefore it's affecting our climate, making this healthier and more livable for us for the future.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's just beyond words how amazing and important this work is. Part of the work being just to raise the awareness because, again, you know, we just don't know enough about these really great stories. You know, thinking of solar, and you mentioned in your book how maybe Washington State, at least Western Washington, isn't the most ideal for solar. However, we did put solar in our house about 5 years ago, and they check it out to see, is it going to work? And our energy bill has been cut by 75%.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And there's no reason your neighbors and their neighbors and everybody else can't do the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, when people think of clean energy, they quite naturally think of solar. They quite naturally think of wind energy and things like that. But really, the clean energy space is so much bigger than that, Kate. My organization, again, E2, has been tracking clean energy jobs across America for almost a decade now. And what we know is that there are more than 3 million people that now work in clean energy occupations. Yes, it's the solar installers. Yes, it's the wind turbine technicians. But think about the construction workers who are putting insulation in your attic or swapping out your drafty old doors and windows for new energy efficient products. Think about the local heating and air conditioning company that might also sponsor the local Little League team, but is now swapping out old gas furnaces for high efficiency heat pumps and things like that, that are saving consumers like you and me money with every monthly power bill. Think about the workers and the companies that are building electric vehicles now that are going to allow us to bypass the gas station and those $50, $60, $80 gas bills every single time we have to stop and fill up.
And a question about that, because we certainly feel and can hear about the pushback from those fossil fuel companies about what's going on with them. So it has to change. It's not a sustainable way to move into the future anyway. But how do we deal with that to have them change their attitudes as well?
Well, look, this is market dynamics at work in some ways. And if you look at, for instance, let's look at electricity. Right now, this year, 95% of receive, or almost 95% of all of the new sources for electricity production in this country are going to be renewable energy. So utilities are not investing in gas anymore. They're not investing in coal, for sure. They're investing in solar. They're investing in wind. They're investing in hydro. They're investing in geothermal. They're investing in batteries. Why is that? Because that is the cheapest power available right now. You can't produce energy any cheaper than you can now, than you can with solar or wind. You can't have a constant source of electricity any cheaper than you can with batteries right now. And, you know, that's simply transformational for the electricity industry and for the economy in general.
Right. And then going back to the batteries, the fact that we can manufacture them here where China has had a monopoly, we've seen, especially during the pandemic, how, you know, that really bottlenecked any kind of shipments and how we were stuck. To create all of that to manufacture in our country is making a world of difference.
That's exactly right. You know, China and other countries were on the track to become, and still are, by the way, on the track to become essentially the Saudi Arabia of the clean energy future, because every other country or the majority of major countries around the world have been investing in and moving toward a cleaner economy a lot faster than America. We've been stalled. We've been set back, a lot of it by some of the companies that you mentioned that are incumbent industries that are quite understandably trying to protect their bottom lines and their industries. But again, because of the policies that we passed in Washington, D.C. 20 months ago, the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act that are in not just investing in these industries, but sending the market signal to companies to invest in these industries, we're finally getting on track in this country. And it's really, as we come up to Earth Day, it's a different story that we haven't heard before, and one that's promising, one that's optimistic.
Yes, absolutely. And when we think about that kind of resistance and wanting to hold on to what has been their economy, in quotes, we see that it's just important to realize what is sustainable, what's going to make a livable future, and seeing how things can be changed and repurposed, if you will, so that they can create new jobs using whatever was there, just refurbish them as has been done, as you mentioned, in Virginia and Pennsylvania and in South Carolina. It's possible to make something new out of what was.
That's exactly right. Or again, look at the company that just announced it's going to open a factory outside of Seattle.
Yes.
That's retrofitting these big, hulking, polluting, giant trucks that are used in heavy industry and turning them into battery-powered trucks or eventually hydrogen-powered trucks that have zero emissions. Look at the aviation industry, you know, which is obviously a huge polluter. And something we really need to address if we care about climate change and a livable planet. We're starting to see these sustainable aviation fuel companies that are coming to places like Washington. We're starting to see Boeing and other companies, smaller companies as well, create planes that that can fly on more sustainable fuel for now and eventually can fly on zero emission fuels like batteries or hydrogen.
Yes.
So it's really just, you know, as I mentioned, I spent about 20 years as a journalist, and a lot of that was as a business journalist. I covered the rise of the internet and the rise of the semiconductor industry and all of that. But I can tell you that we've never seen anything like this in our country before, in just the scope and the scale, and really the speed of this. Again, 300 major clean energy factories and other projects that are now coming out of the ground in simply 20 months' time since we passed these policies in Washington. It's simply amazing.
And that's why you're calling this an American business revolution.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it is really important, as you said, there are forces at work that do not want this to go forward. along, what can we say, along partisan lines. How do we make it so that we see we need a unified look at this to create a, just a good future for everyone and a healthy climate?
Well, first of all, I'm hopeful that as this clean economy continues to grow, and in the places it continues to grow, it's going to make people think about climate action. It's going to make people potentially, hopefully, drop some of the partisan false debate around clean energy. And I say that because, you know, the 300 major projects that we've tracked, when you look at where those are, Kate, 60% of them happen to be in Republican congressional districts. Again, Georgia is leading the country, along with Michigan. Georgia is leading the country in the number of these projects. After that is North Carolina and South Carolina. After that is Tennessee, Kentucky, places like that, that, again, we're tied to, and Texas, by the way, states that are both tied to the fossil fuel industry very closely, whether it's Texas with oil and gas or Kentucky and West Virginia and Tennessee with coal and other fossil fuels. But now folks are starting to see that these clean energy projects, these clean energy jobs are not something far off in the future. It's happening in their backyards. And I truly believe when something becomes a pocketbook issue, whether it's with creating jobs or whether it's saving money through cleaner energy like solar or wind, whether it's saving money through electric vehicles that cost less to operate and are coming down in price to where they're more affordable for everyday folks, I truly believe when that happens, people start to change their minds about things. And climate change has clearly become a pocketbook issue. It's an economic issue, right? We've been talking about the economic benefits of climate action, but think about the economic costs of climate change. Every single year in this country now, we're shelling out something like $100 billion to clean up after climate-related disasters, hurricanes in the east, wildfires and heat in the west, flooding in our nation's heartland. That's hitting everybody in the pocketbook. And again, I'm optimistic because we're finally approaching this from an economic perspective, and it's working.
It is on so many levels, as we said, with the clean environment, with jobs, with people having a living wage and feeling like they're doing something that really is making a difference. We want to feel like we have a purpose and we're fulfilling it.
That's exactly right. And again, we can't go backward on this. As mentioned, there's been more than 30 attempts by the U.S. House of Representatives to roll back or repeal these policies that are creating these jobs, that are driving this economic growth, that is finally doing something about climate in America. We have a very important election coming up, and the uncertainty about what's going to happen in that election is going to change potentially all of this. And I just hope that America realizes this revolutionary clean economy that we're now seeing, and that we make sure our lawmakers don't take us backward.
Absolutely. And of course, the way to do this is to become really well informed. And Bob Keefe, I think that you have really done us such a great service in writing this book, Clean Economy Now, where, as I had mentioned, it's very readable. So many details from across the country, all the reasons as to why this is just literally common sense. And I am so grateful that you have done this work, that you are such a good communicator.
And you are so kind. And Kate, it's been great being with you. Thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. So let's encourage everyone, get out and get your copy of Clean Economy Now, and also check out the website for the book, which is also about Bob Keefe, cleaneconomynow.com, and also e2.org. Right, Bob?
That's exactly right. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Many thanks. And again, deeply grateful for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.